B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Mark?
Oh.
Backcourt.
Ooh.
See, I believe there's only one way to pronounce anything.
I go with Matt Cord on this.
Yeah.
But I'm not going, Mark. Against
he's
Matt Cord.
Yeah, you are.
If you're not for him, you're against him.
No, but if you shake a man's hand.
Sounds like you hate Matt Cord.
If you shake a man's hand,
Matt
and that man said.
Be right up.
If you shake someone's hand and they say their name, that's how I say their name. When I met Mike Calfranco and I was calling him Franco, and he was like, "Hi, I'm Mike Calfranco." And I'm like, "What's up, Mike Calfranco?" That's your name.
Yeah.
That's how I do.
Yeah.
It's called respect. Does he say?
All right, and you're disrespecting Matt Cord.
I'm not disrespecting him. He would know more than I. I don't think there's two ways to say one thing.
So there's a Greek and a French way.
Yes, there is a Greek and a French way. And it appears the French way is antetokounmpo.
See, what's the Nigerian way?
Okay.
I don't know. Matt is tapping into that now.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
I don't disagree. Like, for instance, if I go over to the homeland, right? I go over to Italy, and they look at me, and they see my last name. They say Farzetta, right? But we here, we've been saying Farzetta for a million years. Mm. So that's what we got. That's how we roll. 610-632-0975. You are listening to 975 The Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. 9 o'clock hours brought to you by The Bagster. Dumpster in a bag at your say at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebagster.com. On the line with us, we got Sixers basketball. We're off for another week with no Sixers basketball. Mm-hmm. They return to action against the Brooklyn Nets on the 20th, but on the line with us right now to kind of recap the unofficial first half of the season, our good friend from NBC Sports Philadelphia, former Sixer, Mark Jackson. What's going on there, Mark?
What's going on, fellas? How are you?
I'm doing great, Mark. I got to run this by you because there was a little bit of cause for concern. So after the Sixers beat the Clippers, something we enjoyed immensely, and we'll get to the X and O's of that and what they look like for the rest of the season. We'll get to that in a second. But I took the Joel Embiid tweets going into the game against the Clippers as ha-ha more than anything and more of a whatever, dude, whatever you need to motivate yourself, you do what you got to do. But then we had an opportunity after the game to catch up with Tobias Harris. And Tobias Harris said, basically, he was concerned enough about the tweets and the little back and forth with Jimmy Butler that he reached out to Joel Embiid himself to be like, "Hey, man, what's going on? You good?" And he said, yeah, Joel was fine after that, but he was just, I don't know, doing what Joel does. But for a leader on the team to be that concerned to reach out to him, it lets me know that the team didn't take it in any sort of joking matter.
I'm on the same thing with Tobias. I didn't take it as a ha-ha. And that goes to show you, everybody says, oh, Joel has to be a leader. That's not what leaders do. That tweet, that little interaction with him and Jimmy are not the tweets of a leader. So let's get that out of here. He is not a leader and far from it. As a player, if that play in this league and been in locker rooms, if a guy on my team, one of the best player, made those tweets, it would affect me, which would affect our chemistry. Mm-hmm. So Tobias did the right thing by reaching out to him, see what was going on, and why he just to make sure he's good. Because when a guy shows his pleasure and he tends to want to go out on social media to display that displeasure, to me, that's somebody seeking attention. And guys are seeking attention. That's the wrong attention you need.
No, I'm with you. And that's why it's so weird to me that Tobias Harris and even Josh Richardson, two guys that have been here for not even half the time Joel Embiid's been here, or Ben Simmons, they're two guys that are already leaders on this team. How is it so easy that all of a sudden you were able to take their leadership reins away from Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid?
Because as of day one, you know, the old mantra is your best player is your leader. No, it's not. I've been saying this to y'all guys for weeks now. You know, but in sports, we want that to happen. You look at football, a lot of times they say the quarterback is a leader. And as a guy who's never played football, I don't know if that's accurate or not. But what I'm looking at, when you got a football team with that many guys, you can't have one leader. Mm-hmm. You got one, maybe the quarterback, you got somebody on defense as well. So I'm looking at it like this. It doesn't necessarily, in basketball, have to be one guy's a leader. It could be a guy by default. We want the best player to be the leader by default. And on this team, that is not the case.
Mm-hmm. No, it seems to be Jay Rich and seems to be Tobias a little bit here. Mark, as far as X's and O goes, and we're speaking with Mark Jackson, As far as the X's and O's of this game go, we had been talking for a while here about Al Horford coming off the bench. That finally happened in a little bit of a surprise. It happening before the All-Star break, but I'm happy it happened. What did you make of the spacing and the way the Sixers played overall with Horford coming off the bench?
Erkine didn't give no buckets, but what he did is he made them guard him, which opened up driving lanes for Ben Simmons, which opened up spacing for Joel to go a little bit more one-on-one. Just because his presence was there, it opened up spacing. I liked it. I was happy the decision was made. And here's my thing. How old is Al Horford now? 33. This is most likely his last big contract. So if I'm Al Horford, like, long, you can put me in a bench. You can put me back on the bus. You can put me, long as I'm able to contribute to this team, my contract stays the same. So whatever's best for the team. You know, sometimes starting and coming off the bench can mess with a guy's ego. But I don't know. My contract stays the same whether I start or come off the bench. If this is going to help our team, if it's going to help me personally get some better spacing, I'm down for it. I think it's best for this team. And my thing is this. Since the start, I've never been saying, oh, this is not going to work. I never said it is going to work either. But all I'm looking at it as, when you have Ben, you have Joel, you have Al Horford. So there's three guys that like to operate around the paint area. If you could just take one of those guys out, it opens up a lot. Mm-hmm. So whether it's Furkan from now on, Alec Burks from now on, or Glenn Robinson III from now on, it's better to have one of those guys in the starting lineup than Al Horford.
And I like when you make the comment about his contract. I'm pretty sure, you know, incentives are the same, just like for ours. You make it into the playoffs, you're getting incentives money. You make it to the finals, even more incentive money. So it's still giving you a chance to maximize your contract.
Exactly, Trey. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. What's going to help us go further? Them bonuses in the playoffs, they double up real quick.
Yes,
first round, I believe, is like 20-something per player. Second round, 50-something per player. Third round, like 75-something per player. Finals are like 200-something grand per player.
Damn!
So the incentives add up.
Mm-hmm.
Add up. So if I'm Al Horford, knowing I'm 33 years old, I'm going to decline in my career, and they was willing enough to give me this contract. And let's be honest, Trey, let's call it the way we see it.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, you always going to go to the highest bidder when you're a free agent.
Absolutely.
So obviously, I'm quite sure the 76ers gave him the highest contract out of any other team. And if I know this most likely be my last big contract, I'm okay with whatever role they want me to have.
Mark, we always talk about the starting lineup with this team, especially now that Horford's been going to the bench. But let me ask you this. It's playoff time. It's crunch time. Every game's a close one. Final 4 or 5 minutes of the game, who's your five on the floor to finish the game?
Great question. To me, I'm going to go with Joel, Ben, Furkan, Josh Richardson, and Tobias. Or Alec Burke in for Furkan.
Okay.
Oh, you like Al Burks off the bench? I'm not off the bench. Excuse me, in the starting lineup.
No, you said the last 5 minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So if it's not, here's my thing. I prefer Furkan, Alec Burks. Most likely, to be honest, I prefer Alec Burks than Furkan because he can play defense.
Right.
I would say my favorite player, Matisse Thybulle, but at the end of the game, they're going to look to double. I need somebody to space the floor. Alec Burks is a very good scorer. And unfortunately, he's not going to get a chance to be able to show his full repertoire of scoring ability. But if they can find a way to play him 20 minutes a game, he can give you some Lou Williams type numbers. He's a scorer.
Yeah, I think that's, we were making the same comparison after the Clippers game. So I love that to end the game. I'm sorry, I missed that part of it. It was the last 4 or 5 minutes of the game. So do you think, because a lot of times we get accused of being overly optimistic after a big win, whether that be against the Clippers or that be against the Bucks. But the reason I'm more optimistic is not just because they won the game, but they might have figured something out going forward with the new rotation. Can we be optimistic to that point to think that the Sixers might have figured something out here?
I think we should be optimistic because now with that going on, now that they've made a rotation change and they won against arguably the best, most stat team in NBA history. Look, I said it before. Anytime NBA 2K won't let you make those trades, you know that team is stacked. All right, so but if you made those adjustments and you beat that team because they didn't go away. The Clippers kept coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Morris got going. Kawhi got going. Luger, they just so deep at the position. And you found a way to steady the ship or right the ship. They pulled that one out. That's letting you know that we might have figured out something, and that's the only way to look at it from here on out until they prove it differently.
We talked about the leadership of Josh Richardson, but how about the leadership on the court of Josh Richardson helping close out that game? I mean, I jumped out of my seat when he crossed over Kawhi Leonard, took him to the hole, and got the N1.
Exactly. Josh Richardson, I hope he can not just get healthy, but stay healthy. He's a very valuable piece to this team, and he's underrated because we look at Ben, we look at Joel so much, at Tobias. Josh Richardson is a two-way player. He's somebody you don't have to feed him the ball 20 times a game. He's going to find a way in the Florida game and step up on an offensive end, and he's definitely going to step up on a defensive end.
The other thing, Mark, is speaking with Mark Jackson, NBC Sports Philly, pre- and post-game analyst, the other thing is I can't remember an athlete that looked for different types of motivation more so than Joel Embiid. And can you remember any basketball player that needed to either troll fans on social media, you know, shush fans on the court, tell them to shut the bleep up? Like, whatever it is, he just is a very odd bird when it comes to finding motivation.
Yeah, but it's been lots of players that, other than the social media, you know, Charles Barkley was the best at it. You know, he found somebody in the stands, he said, I don't like the way they got eating his French fries. See, I'm mad at him. And he would take it out on his opponents on the court. You know, everyone seeks something to motivate them. You know, my only thing is that's a slippery slope. When you finding ways to motivate you, which you can easily find in any arena, even in your home arena. But the things you're doing, you got to make sure that you got to save face with your faithful. You know the Sixers crowd going to boo you some games, cheer you most of the time. You can't go back at them because now you really don't want all that. You talk with Jimmy Butler. You really don't want to be a villain here in Philadelphia because we run you out of here quick.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and we make life real unhappy for you.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know what I mean? You really don't want to do that. You really don't want to go down that slope. You want to find something to motivate you. Pick somebody on the opposing team, but don't pick your own crowd.
We got Mark Jackson joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. And Mark, I want to ask you, this home and road thing, is the thing on the road, the problems on the road, do you think it's more mental or more physical?
It is definitely mental. The thing about being on the road when you're winning these road trips is you against the world. You're going, you're like Spartan, you're like the Spartan 300. It's you against thousands of people. It's just you, them 12 guys, or now 13 guys suited up, and those coaches, it's you. You in a hostile environment. But you got to go take that land from them. That's how you have to look at it. My thing is with this 76ers team, a big problem for them not getting it going on the road because they don't have that cohesiveness. That they're not interlocked. Not everybody's bought in on each other, on the way they're playing, and that's what's causing them not to have a success on the road. They have the talent. I believe they have the X's and O's. It's just them as a whole. Once they can get together as a team and start embracing each other and embracing this journey as one, they will start to win more road games.
Can the change of Horford going to the bench be as simple as changing that mental aspect?
Now, listen, that's a good question. Now, listen to this. Check this out. Yes and no. So just because you put Al on the bench, let him come off the bench. Let's say if Al is grumpy. If he's a grumpy guy going to the bench, like Carmelo Anthony was saying for years, I'm not a bench guy, I'm a starter. Let's say if he was grumpy like that, that would do nothing more but fuel the difficulty of that team. That would not coexist. It would make him continue to lose games. But now, if Al can accept that role and truly believe and give off the impression this is the best of the team, and I'm okay with it, then that one thing alone can help fuel this team and help this team be successful.
All right, Mark Jackson, now let's get to the real big question of the day. I don't know if you've seen the video out there. It's gone viral of a woman sitting in her airplane seat. She fully reclines it, and the guy behind her is shaking her seat. So it's made the question come up today. Is it okay to recline your seat? Now, I'm not going to ask you specifically because you're 6'10", all right? But the mere mortals of the world, is it okay to recline your seat on an airplane?
Now, listen, that's the best question of the day. When I'm on it, listen. when I'm on these flights, guys, if I'm at the last minute and I got to get a regular seat, unbelievably a regular seat, and I'm squeezed in, I cannot knock the person in front of me for reclining the seat, especially if it's a long trip, like from here to Vegas or whatever, or into California. I can't be mad at them. I just got to be better in choosing when I choose to fly and what seat I choose to get to help me. I don't think I can be mad at that person for reclining the seat. Now, if we jumping on an hour and a half flight, I'm like, look, buddy, this is an hour and a half flight. You get off of that. You ain't putting this seat.
but I'm amazed that a massive human being such as yourself would be like, hey, I get it. You know, we're going to Vegas. You got to put that back. You put it back. Like that. God bless you, man. You're a better man than I. I believe in putting the seat back. But if I was like you or Trey, at least 6'8", I would have my issues with the person in front of me.
Yeah, you know, you want to be. You can be frustrated, but you're like, you know what? This is my bad. I should have got this last minute flight. This is what I get. The whole time I'm telling myself, like, I see, that's what you get. You got to be more professional. You got to do it quicker. Can't let this come down to this. You know, but you can't be mad at that person who paid that money for that seat. He wants to sit, he or she wants to lay back in your lap. You can't be mad at that.
Mark, you're the man. Always great talking to you, man. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, fellas, have a good one.
All right, thanks, Mark Jackson, Sixers pre- and post-game analyst, NBC Sports.
That's a good individual right there.
I can't believe that. Like, there are a million extenuating circumstances to whether or not you should be able to put your seat back. Like, you have to read the room, like, in everything. Know the situation you're in.
That's it.
If Mark Jackson's sitting behind me, if Trey Thomas is sitting behind me, I ain't putting my seat back because I'm a decent human being.
Mm.
But if it's more of an average-sized man, such as myself, I'll put the seat back.
You got a lot of rules on things. You know, like that's it's leading up to a question.
Okay,
don't have to be defensive.
Okay, I'm fine.
So, you know, as far as like you don't eat other people's meatballs and, you know, all the Italian things you got going on.
I love my life. Yeah, I love my family. Yeah.
So, do you have any rules of flying? Because I do.
I'm sure if I really thought about it, I'd have a lot more. But when I fly, I get the window seat. I always make sure I have the window seat, even on long flights, because I just want to disappear and not bother anybody.
I see. This directly goes to my one rule.
What's that?
2.5 hours and below, window seat. Over 2.5 hours, aisle seat.
You may have a smaller bladder than I do.
Yeah, I rarely go to the bathroom on planes.
Okay.
Very rarely. I always take care of it before.
In the event I don't get the window seat, I always at least make one trip to the bathroom.
It's rare that I fly without having a drink or six.
I never drink on a flight.
Really? Really?
Swear to God.
Why?
Don't know.
Huh.
Just, like, don't know. I've never
hammered on flights.
Yeah. Never. One time, my cousin and I were going to a wedding in Arkansas. I flew from Philly to Charlotte. He lives in Charlotte. We both got first class going from Charlotte to Arkansas.
I was
going to
say, you
and
probably got
some
first class bumps during your time.
But I don't, because I can...
Free drinks, Bob.
I think what it was I considered it working for me, so I wouldn't drink, yeah.
What?
I'm just telling you, it's yeah.
Bob, I've, like, questioned whether or not I would get, like, escorted off the plane.
I might have a beer or two in the airport before getting on the plane. But
what's the difference?
Look, I'm not saying I'm right or wrong. I'm just saying it's just what I did. I never, ever drink on a plane.
Every once in a while, I would get a first-class upgrade when you log so many miles, they just bump you up.
Yeah, we did it frequently.
Oh.
It was awesome. It's tough to go back to coach.
Just one flight attendant was like, oh, is your glass empty? Right away. Boom. Jack Daniels. Boom. Just right. One guy sat next to me. And I always told myself so I'd never lose appreciation for having the moment. Because guess what? If anybody sitting behind me had the opportunity, I don't want to waste it for them either. Mm-hmm. I've even sent drinks back to people I knew in coach. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is...
Sweetheart.
I didn't do it again. I'm mad at the people. So the guy says, can I get you anything to drink? And the guy next to me, who's sitting up there, goes, oh, I'll just do an orange juice. And they look to me, and they go, it's like 7:30 flight. Lady goes, hey, what can I get you? I'm like, Jack Daniels, rock side, please. Thanks very much.
I just got a text from
the guy next to me goes, you know what? I'll do a mimosa.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
I just got a text from a buddy who flies for work regularly, a lot, logs a lot of miles. Uh-huh. And he said there's a special place in hell for people that go full recline.
Full recline with no look back, no checksies. There is a special place in hell. But the seat has the opportunity. You can put the seat back because it has the lever and you go back.
All right. I had a situation one time. We're on an early morning flight and there's a guy sitting in front of me, well-dressed, obviously business travel, and he has his suit coat over like his knee. So it's hanging down. A lady's walking onto the plane. A little bit of coffee slips out of her cup, and it goes down the guy's sleeve of his. She sees that I see it. She knows it happens. The guy doesn't know it happens. And she kind of looks at me like, what should I do? What do you do?
You
I mean, you can tell him, but what difference does it make? Well, he could clean it,
wow,
I guess,
Bob,
right there.
You're saying she should just continue on and not...
the thing was... Yeah,
I didn't... Oh, you're supporting this.
I would have said, hey, bud, I'm sorry. You know, you might want to clean that, right? But she was like, I don't know what to do. And I was like... Like on you, and yeah. She just kept walking.
We are the worst humans when we're flying.
Yeah,
yeah. You see the worst in people.
We're horrible. We're horrible.
I have late March. We're taking my parents down to Myrtle Beach. It was our Christmas gift to them.
Nice.
I already have anxiety about flying with a baby.
Yeah,
because I've been in planes plenty of times with babies, and it's not their fault. I understand family's got it, but I hate those babies.
Yeah, stop.
You
that's
know
horrible.
That, no, you know not. That you're bothering other people.
Yes. But, I already have anxiety
so
about it.
So you get bothered by babies on a plane?
Yeah.
No. They're kids.
It's not their fault. Yeah. I fully recognize it's not their fault, and it's not the parent.
I would punch you in the face if I saw you getting bothered by a baby crying on a plane.
I don't visibly get upset, but when I see a baby coming down the aisle, I go...
I can't stand when people make faces like a kid's crying and they keep turning around.
You're,
like,
you're not even hearing me. Listen, Bob.
I don't
want to
listen. You
see the baby come down the aisle and you go,
you hate babies.
Oh, great.
I may or may not have been on a flight once where Jamie told a mother that there was room in the overhead compartment.
You had an extra diaper? Put it in your kid's mouth.
Okay, you check that baby underneath with the dogs. No, I don't do any of that. But in my internal, since we're here in the trust tree, internally, my dialogue goes, oh, great. I hope this kid isn't crying.
I think the same thing every
time. Everybody
does. Do you sleep on the flight all the time?
I try. It doesn't always work.
That's why I disappear on the flight. I sit in the window seat, usually hood up, headphones already on, I'm out. See you later.
Yeah, I need some Xanax for the flight with Skylar because I already have anxiety.
All right, we're still pretty split down the middle in our Twitter poll. Now, I did tease this earlier, and I want to make sure.
Skylar reclines her seat. Oof. I'm going to have a talking with her.
I want the person sitting behind Skylar to say, this baby just reclined her seat.
She's a baby. She doesn't even need it.
Now, that's a recording that will go viral. I teased this earlier. I want to make sure we get to it in this segment. The Astros cheating scandal, sharp right turn here. The Astros cheating scandal really pissed off David Robertson, and he feels like he was robbed. In 2017, he was a member of the Yankees, and he'd been pitching great since he was acquired. And the only time he really got shelled, from what I remember, is the game against the Astros. So, of course, it gets brought up to Joe Girardi yesterday, where he talked about sign stealing. Here's what the new Philly skipper said about trying to protect those signs.
I never really thought about specifically addressing it. I've already started addressing how we protect our stuff and our signs and talk to catchers and pitchers and plans that we have in spring training to start incorporating some of this stuff so it's not foreign when we get to the first day of the season. You know, I mean, we're going to do things the right way, and we're going to look for every advantage there is. I mean, if a pitcher's tipping, I mean, we're going to use that, and we're going to protect, make sure our guys aren't tipping. But it's specifically having a meeting about what's off limits. No, I don't think that's necessary because this is not a club that was doing anything.
Nothing to see here. Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see
but
here.
If other people have the telescope in the center field wall, or if anybody's banging on a trash can, or someone's got a little buzzer in their shoulder, whatever it might be, we're going to be aware of it, and we're going to try to protect against it. Can't be too cautious. So don't blame them at all for that. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. If you want to get in here at our next segment. How many wins for the Phillies? And also, is there any concern for the people listening right now? You heard us play yesterday, Tobias Harris, say that he had to call Joel Embiid and say, hey, man, you good? Like, that lets you know it's resonating in the locker room. Our two former athletes now today, Trey Thomas and Mark Jackson, are like, yeah, that stuff gets noticed. If you're talking to another player and you're even hinting at not being all in, that raises the eyebrows, especially a guy like Tobias Harris, and we'll explain that in a minute. Also, our man John of Fort Lauderdale's got a little something on Greek American clarifications for Giannis Antetokounmpo. On some Phillies conversation as well. We'll also give you an update on our Twitter poll coming up in a few here on 975 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
To sing Kiss by a Rose to their lady friend. They want us to knock on our door.
Really trying to seal the deal, huh?
What's your asking price?
That was a good one, James.
I don't know.
Hey, took a shot. Kid took a shot. What do you want?
I don't know. We gotta talk about
it. I'll do it for free. Public service.
Yeah, nah.
Chalk it up for my public service hours there.
Depends on where we have to go.
I don't know. The one thing I know you do have to do, maybe tomorrow, maybe you have yourself some fun. Maybe you take in, I don't know, maybe you have yourself a good time. Maybe a little courting on the court, maybe. Go to 975thefanatic.com. Register to win tickets from Rothman Orthopedics, where we set you up on a blind date. We have people registering at 975thefanatic.com right now. Rothman Orthopedics giving us two court-level tickets. Jamie and Bob will be there as your chaperones, mm-hmm. if you will. And we are playing the match game, essentially, on our website right now, where our wonderful promotions department is going to put a couple together. Now, think about this. People do the Tinder nowadays and all the fun stuff they do there. This is like Tinder, but with a better date because you're going to a Sixers game.
There it is. And you have Jamie there with you.
You have Jamie there. You have Bob there. Trey, you'll probably FaceTime at some point. I might even drop down if, I don't know, there needs to be conversation. But the Sixers game is going to be the Sixers game against the Hawks on February 24th. And we're giving away those tickets for Valentine's Day. And a second row ticket, parking pass, complimentary food and drinks, seats plus your date will be chaperoned by Bob and Jamie, all courtesy of the great people of Rothman Orthopedics. Guys, ladies, go ahead and go to our website, 975thefanatic.com. You can submit a picture of yourself and a little brief profile, a little description of yourself as well. And our promo team will put together a nice little date for two people. Doesn't that sound nice, Trey?
Yes, it does.
Don't let pain in your back, your shoulders, your knees, or hips stop you from doing what you love. Going on dates, for instance. Turn to the experts, the orthopedic experts at Rothman Orthopedics, proud orthopedic partner of the 76ers. John in Fort Lauderdale. What's up there, John?
Hey, how you doing? It's Tom, actually. That's okay.
All right, Tom. That's weird. Okay, hey, go ahead. Sorry, man. We must have messed that up.
No, that's our... No, it's Bluetooth, you know? Sometimes things are close.
Right.
But I heard you guys talking about Giannis and the pronunciation of his last name. Well, I can tell you, as I am Greek American, and Giannis is John, basically.
Yes,
it translates to John or Johnny. You know, but Antetokounmpo is actually isn't a Greek name per se. It's actually his surname, which is Nigerian. So, depending on where you are in Greece. There's dialects just like everywhere else, so you're going to say it a little bit differently if you're from Athens or if you're from Sparta.
Right, okay.
But, I think a lot of people think that the last name is actually a Greek name, but it's not. It's actually Nigerian in origin.
Okay, yeah, I figured as much, but it's still, however he pronounces his name, though, right? Like, that's the right way to say it?
Exactly, how does he say it?
Exactly, right?
Like, he wants to be known as Johnny Nigerian now.
Yeah, right.
And we got on this subject because he named his kid Liam. Like, is his wife Irish or something?
Yeah.
And, like, who knows? Maybe he just likes the name.
Yeah. Well, big movie star with that name, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, a little bit. John, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. Oh, what do you got on the Phillies real quick?
No, just wondering if, I know that Bryce Harper was... kind of a last, late season acquisition or a late spring acquisition, I should say, or winter, whatever you want, off season. Do you think that you see an 11th hour thing happening maybe with Chris Bryant or someone else maybe right here at the, going into spring training?
I wish, but I don't think Chris Bryant's going to be that guy. I think they're done for now. I'm hoping a couple of more decent acquisitions, guys that helped out the bullpen, for instance, they made one of them. So I'm hoping more to come. Drew Storen, I don't think is a bad pickup right there as well. You have audio, Jamie, of Giannis on to something or another. How does he say it?
Nigerian way, you got to say it with a D. So it's Adetokounmpo. but in the Greek way, you say with the NT, like, antetokounmpo. So I changed it myself, like, I don't think there is a way you gotta say the last name, whatever you got, just say
No. I don't like that. I hate when people say that.
Antetokounmpo.
Whatever's fine. No, I want to know how you say your name.
He goes back and forth.
Well, you know, Corey Clement, so many people were messing up his name.
Clementine?
So many people were calling him Clement. He's like, I literally had to like call my dad and be like, Dad, how do we say our name? He goes, I just forgot. Because it's like when people say, do you say water or water? I always go, I think I say water.
I say water, but occasionally like a water-ish will slip in.
I said water as a kid, but when I got to be older, I changed it to water. Correct pronunciation.
I still say water. I say water still happens quite often, more often than I'd like to admit, but I know it's water. Generally speaking, if it's a bottle of water, you know, something like that, it's clear water, I still say.
Yeah.
I'm working on it.
All right. Maybe
my college professor.
Maybe when you're my age, you get it. I don't know.
My college professor's like, hey, you're never going to be on the radio if you keep saying stuff like that. I'm like, not if I work here. It'll be accepted. 610-632-0975. So we mentioned Tobias Harris before the break, and we played for you guys yesterday the audio of Tobias Harris saying that the Joel Embiid stuff bothered him enough to the point where he actually reached out to Joel Embiid. Mm-hmm. I took the stuff originally as, ha-ha, Joel, you're just being silly. Hey, man, whatever. Whatever you need to motivate yourself, if it's the fans, if it's another player, you do you. But once, I guess, the other team came involved, Jimmy Butler came knocking on the door a little bit, mm-hmm. That's what I think raised some other people's eyebrows. And I think if it did raise somebody's eyebrows in the locker room, it was Tobias Harris. And sure enough, he said he reached out to him. So as much as I want to take this in like, oh, jovial Joel type of thing, jolly old Joel, like, that caught the attention of his teammates.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a good look for you to be talking to somebody else on the other team in a public forum like that. Like, I'm not naive. Like, I know these guys talk. Like, for instance, Tobias Harris, he told me he speaks every 3 days, at least he speaks to Boban Marjanovic. They're besties, all right? I don't doubt these guys talk, but when it's in a manner of one person looking like they're disappointed in the situation or upset in the situation they're in, and they might be going somewhere else, that's where a guy like Tobias Harris, and this is why it's Tobias, he's the guy that wants to settle in here in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
When we talked to him when he was traded here, when he talked about it during his introductory press conference, at the end of last year, he talked about this. He wanted loyalty from a team that was going to commit to him for a long period of time. And the Sixers have done that. So right now, he's committing to the Sixers, who have committed to him, and he wants to know that Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid are here for the long haul. And they're not just going to run at the first sight of being malcontents or the first sight of danger. So that's why Tobias Harris, I think, reached out, because I think, Trey, he thought that was threatened.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. When you see your teammate put something out there like that, it makes you feel like, whoa, wait a minute, what's going on here? Let me see what the deal is. I personally didn't feel like it was a joke. I think that Embiid felt like it, you know, has been criticized a little bit for the first time in during his tenure here, and I think that he kind of just lashed out.
Yeah, I don't know about how you read it, and you've been around those guys more than we have, but I took it as, ha-ha. The Jimmy Butler thing was like, all right, guys, that's a little annoying, but I didn't think that another teammate would reach out and be like, hey, dude, you're all right?
Why did you think, aha, why did I roll my eyes? Seriously, like, I'm asking you, why?
Because it was Joel being in Joel. Because
we're used to it.
Okay.
Why does Tobias reach out? He's never seen this before.
All right.
He only got here with 27 games left last year, and Joel was hurt during the majority of the final part of the season. Then they get into the playoff. He doesn't know this side of Joel Embiid like we do.
Mm-hmm.
So as a teammate, it's like, and a leader, what the hell is this?
Mm-hmm.
So he made the phone call. Good for him. I there's nothing wrong with it. And maybe he said, hey, oh, okay. That's weird. Like, other guys in the league aren't doing it. I don't know if he went to the knock it off point, but, you know, good for him for reaching out, clarification, whatever it may be. Good.
All he said was he called to check on him, and he was good.
I wonder how that went. Yo, dude, you're right.
Yeah, I don't think it was.
What the hell are you doing?
I think Tobias Harris knows that Joel Embiid would not respond well to, hey, knock it off.
Right. No, I agree with that.
No. Yeah, I think he's a smart enough, leader and a smart enough player to realize that's not the way you should handle that.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that also did kind of bother me, and I was thinking about it last night, was when he ended with, it is what it is.
Mm.
And I'm like, well, hold on a second. It is what it is. That's JoJo being JoJo, but it was more to you. Maybe again, Bob, because like you said, he's not used to it. He doesn't know him that well enough. It is what it is. Never ends well, I don't think.
I hate that expression.
I really do, too. No, explain,
do you really?
Explain it further. I don't... It's never it is what it is. Like, if you've explained it at length, by all means, great. But if you've been kind of a little bit vague, then by all means, let me in. Like, let me know what's going on there.
So what if Joel's explanation to him was like, hey, man, these people been pissing me off. I'm tired of all of this.
Uh-huh.
You know, so, yeah, I wanted to say something.
But, like, I here's what I enjoy. I enjoy a player who's willing to play with us. Like, I
don't think this was a plan, though.
No, but what I'm saying is if we say something along, if we boo because you're playing like trash, all right, fine. But if you want to come back at us, go ahead.
Mm.
Like, the only thing I don't like is when you act like we're idiots. He's not acting like we're idiots. Sean Rodriguez acted like we were idiots that didn't know the game of baseball. That pissed me off. But a guy like Joel Embiid, who just wants to have a little back and forth with us, yeah, I'm game. I'm not going to, as fans, all of a sudden going to back down from somebody who wants to challenge us a little bit. We challenge him every day.
Okay.
That's how I see it. That's how I see it. 610-632-0975 if you want to get in on the final segment. We'll also give you a final on our Twitter poll coming up in a few here on 975 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Don't forget about Path to Pro. If you want to learn to be a real player in the esports world, come out to Nerd Street this Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. for the Path to Pro Pep Rally. If you're a fan of the Overwatch League, if you think you or your kids have what it takes to be a pro gamer or gaming pro itself, you know what? This event's for you. You have the chance to meet some of the esports executives from Nerd Street, World Gaming Network, and even some players from the Houston Outlaws and the Philadelphia Fusion. That's the Path to Pro Pep Rally this Friday. That's tomorrow from 4 to 6 p.m. at Nerd Street, 908 North 3rd Street in Northern Liberties. The event is free. We'll see you there. And how about this? It doesn't stop there. Another deal here. Deal of the week. This is only, this. You can get, for this week only, $50 worth of gift cards to Philly Pretzel Factory for $25. That's half the price. Last time I did the math. Gift cards are valid at all locations and perfect for satisfying their salty craving that you have, or your next party tray, next party you're going to. Hurry while supplies are limited. Purchase at 975thefanatic.com, keyword deal. Sam, let's go ahead and put a bow on our Twitter poll, please.
Today we asked, generally speaking, is it okay to put your seat back on an airplane? We had just under 3,400 votes.
Good Lord, that's a lot of votes.
And the final 54% say yes, it is to put okay to put your seat back.
Now we're all better people. I feel like we have solved that problem. Just take
not really.
Why? What do you mean?
It's not okay.
Well, we've helped people today to let them know what's okay and what's not okay.
I don't agree.
Well, the majority rules, and this is a democracy, Sam.
Whatever.
Fine. Make a fine point, nonetheless. Who brings us that Twitter poll?
Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows, plus make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
All right, don't lose sight tonight, folks. The Flyers back in action. You can hear them right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. They got their playoff push going on right now. Carter Hart most likely back in net for the Flyers tonight. I know he's been struggling on the road. They're in Florida tonight. They're taking on the Panthers. So they're probably facing off against Bob yet again. But the Flyers are in action tonight trying to tally up all the points for their playoff push. We did give away a pair of Flyers tickets today, and those pair of tickets are to see the Flyers take on the Columbus Blue Jackets Tuesday, February 18th. For tickets, go to PhiladelphiaFlyers.com. Sam, who won those tickets?
Charles King. I think he was from Germantown.
Germantown, yes.
He was our first caller. He's the one that said 122 wins for the Phillies, and we love the optimism.
Let's hope he's sober when he goes to that game, because he wasn't today.
Sam, don't hot take him, okay? He had 120 wins.
120, yeah. Sorry. I added two more.
I was on board with 120. 122. Yeah.
Maybe if they got another pitcher, they get two more wins. You never know.
People will accuse me of being overly optimistic. Sam, what is your takeaway of the day?
My takeaway of the day is that I don't care what the people say. You don't just put your seat back. It's not okay. I understand that you have the right, some people think that, because they purchased it, mm-hmm. but... No, that's just inconsiderate.
You read the room. You read the plane.
Yes. And if you have a stiff back and you need to, you turn around politely and you let the person know that you aren't being rude. You just have to.
No, I didn't even mention this. I know someone that once worked 24 hours a shift. They were in the production crew working for a football game. And they turned around. They said, look, I just worked 24 hours. I just want to let you know I'm going to put my seat back. And the guy's like, oh, hey, thanks for the heads up.
Yeah. That's the, that's society. The considerate way. That's how you do it.
Beautiful.
Be civil, people.
Exactly. Read the room.
Yeah.
Jimmy Lynch.
Anta tekumpo.
I heard kumpo.
I'm just going to call him the Greek freak.
Take the easy way out.
Yeah.
Take the easy way out.
Yeah,
don't
absolutely.
Don't
yeah.
Bob Cooney.
I got a text from a friend wondering if Jamie and I really hate each other.
Only sometimes.
And I just want to say, I don't hate Jamie. Like, I love Jamie, actually.
Are you giving me a Valentine's Day well-wishing here, Bob?
I just want everyone to know that my love expands to one Jamie Lynch. I do not hate you. Does he get on my nerves? Unbelievably so sometimes? Of course. But that's all part of the love process, right, Mark?
All right. There's no Bro-entine's Day, all right?
Well, there should be.
We can make that happen. We can make it happen.
Sam, men get gypped here. Galentine's Day, Valentine's Day. Where's our day?
To be fair, I didn't even know Galentine's Day was an actual thing. I thought it was just a term for single women.
All the single ladies.
All the single ladies.
Bobby!
Yes, Trey.
Happy Galentine's Day to all the single ladies out there.
The morning show loves you.
The morning show loves
you. You got us as your Valentine's.
That's right.
Yeah.
And if you find yourself standing over a puddle from after we sang a little Seal.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Jesus.
It's been
a drop the mic.
It's been a rainy February.
It's been damp.
Yeah, it's been damp.
Let's just say that the moisture's been through the roof.
Yeah.
Your singing brings tears to people's eyes.
That's
sometime.
Another depth. See yeah. that?
My yeah. dad did text in. He said, "Mark and Trey, don't quit your day jobs."
You know, I know. Honestly, I thought Trey was going to go with the put the coat down over the puddle so the woman steps over it.
Nah.
But he didn't. I should have known better. my takeaway of the day is that we can go door-to-door with a little Kiss by the Rose action. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow. I don't know. I don't know. Stay tuned for the Anthony Gargano Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.